When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
King of the South. Good drop, Rami. Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York, I'm going to sprinkle some sports topics on you that you're not going to care about because all you care about is the Mets and the Yankees, and that's fine. And I don't really care about the other stuff going on in sports. What do you guys want to talk about? Bronny James? Like, they're having a full-on press conference for the 55th pick. And Bronny James, like, you know what's weird about the Bronny James thing? Like, people leaning into, like the cardiac arrest that he had, and they're saying, well, this is a guy that was fighting for his life and had to ramp back up. Maybe that's why he only scored 4.5 points a game. Stop it. It's unfortunate that that happened to him, but, like, this is LeBron James' kid. Just focus on that. This is LeBron James' son. He got drafted by LeBron James' team, which is coached by LeBron James' podcast co-host. Like, it's just, it's amazing the time that we live in with the internet and reality. There's so many blurred lines. You can pull the wool over so many people's eyes. Just call a spade a spade. LeBron wanted to draft his kid, and they did it. He had the power to do it. When I have the power to help my son, I'm going to do the same thing. I understand the nepotism. Nobody could stop him. They did it.
But he's hurting his son. This is what Greg Giannotti's point was in the morning. He's not helping him. It would be better for his son to develop.
I never hear the morning show, so, like, please go on. Yeah, tell me.
This is the only person I've heard say this is Greg, and I think he's right. He's hurting his son. It's one thing if it was actually good for his kid. Like, Joe Buck talked about his dad putting him in a broadcast booth when he was younger, and then that's how he got opportunities and became Joe Buck, right? But he's not helping his son by putting him at a level that he's not ready for, right? As opposed to he could sit at college.
We don't know that yet.
Don't we?
I don't think he's ready, but they're going to find a way to bring him along, and we're going to find out. We're going to see if he even belongs in summer league.
Wouldn't he be better off playing 30-something minutes a game in college?
He should have gone back to school.
And just being a regular kid but actually developing.
I think I read somewhere that his contract's fully guaranteed. So he's helping his kid. His kid's getting a fully guaranteed contract from the Lakers.
His grandkids don't have to worry about money.
I mean, they're billionaires. It's I don't know. It's such an interesting story and an interesting topic because we're going to see how it plays out. I think it's 75% chance that Bronny does not belong and that this doesn't look good and that he gets exposed. And he never actually becomes an NBA player. And the whole thing will be just the quick pop that we're going to get in preseason coming up where LeBron James shares the floor with Bronny James. First son, father-son duo in the NBA. But it's just like so far, like, I don't know, man. I look at stuff like that and it's awkward. Because it's so forced. It's like, are any of the other, you know, second round picks having full-on press conferences? No, everything is for clicks, right? J.J. Redick is the coach. J.J. Redick was calling games for ESPN. He was on First Take right down the street from here. J.J. Redick literally said to the media, all you guys are just engagement farmers, and he's cursing at the media in his press conference. I don't give an F. You guys are just engagement farmers. No, you guys are engagement farmers. That's all this is. For clicks and for people to talk about it on sports talk radio and on television and people to check out the Lakers. Bronny is undersized. And the fact that he did have a cardiac arrest episode last year, he probably needs more time to play at the level he was playing at and not the highest level of basketball in the world. But what do I know? Where was Dalton Neck from Tennessee? Well, he was there, but like, how come I didn't see more clips of him? That was a steal of the draft.
How come they weren't asking him more questions? Because he's not LeBron James' kid. I bet you if you put those two on the court and let them play one-on-one, it wouldn't be close. It wouldn't be close. 888-808-1019. There's the nepotism angle, and then there's also the race angle, which I don't even have the time to get into. It's fine. It's fine. I'm glad that LeBron James is at a level where he is the GM, le GM, and can bless his son like that and draft his son and put him on a team over so many other young men that probably deserve to be in that spot that are still working for that spot, but their dads are probably regular guys, work regular jobs. Switching from the NBA. Well, no, let's not switch from the NBA because I did want to bring the Wiseman conversation to the table and even the Walker Kessler conversation for the Knicks fans, because two nights ago we were talking about Isaiah Hartenstein and who's going to be the backup center and is it going to be Mitch and Jericho Sims? I think they need to do better than those two guys. Well, there was a report that the Knicks are showing interest in Walker Kessler from Utah. The Knicks have also made inquiries on him and they're checking on him in the trade market, but also the Hornets. They're also looking at the Hornets center, Nick Richards. And earlier today, we saw the Indiana Pacers swoop in. And everybody was talking about the project that this guy was going to be as a top pick. Everybody's talking about, well, you know, the book is still out on him. Well, free agent center James Wiseman agrees on a two-year contract with the Indiana Pacers. I put it out on my Twitter and I said, can't forget about Indy. As Knicks fans want to just say, it's us and the Celtics. Oh, wait, Paul George went and said, it's us and the Celtics and the Sixers. Indiana knocked you out this year. They're going to be looking to knock you out next year. They're going to be looking to compete with you. So there's the NBA topics. In the WNBA, which I don't care about at all, I don't watch. Not because I'm like, you know, sexist or whatever. I just don't. I just never have. And like even now, it doesn't move me. I watch baseball. Maybe if I wasn't a baseball fan, I'd watch women's basketball. And I think they're starting to pull in guys that are basketball fans that don't watch baseball. 20,000 people showed up to see the reigning champs take on the rookie phenom, the Las Vegas Aces and Aja Wilson versus the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark. They had to move it to the bigger arena, I think T-Mobile Arena out there in Vegas where the Knights play, so that they could, you know, fill up that place with 20,000 plus people. Good. Great. Good that the women's game is getting that much attention. I'm never buying a ticket. I'm not pulling up. I'm not watching. But like, it is good that they, you know, Caitlin Clark is bringing this much attention. And that many people are tapped in. I just saw that Caitlin Clark and her nemesis Angel Reese were both selected to the WNBA All-Star team as rookies. So clearly they have made an impact. Clearly they have transitioned from the college game right into the women's game. Good for them. I can't wait for football already. Not because I just don't think the Yankees can do it. Like, I'm not quitting on the Yankees. I was trying to say, yo, chill on the football, because once football starts, we're going to get so full. You're going to turn on the morning show. You're going to turn on BT. And it's going to be full-on conversations about Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, while we're in baseball season, while great baseball is being played or terrible baseball is being played. I saw Tiki Barber had something to say about Austin Ekeler today. Got some attention online. Sean Morash in the clip. I'll spare Morash. I won't. Morash is so round. Like, he's popping up in all these clips, bro. I just can't. Good for him, though. Good. Morash has been in the power chair. Bad job by Evan. Evan hits jury duty and goes on vacation, and the afternoon drive has turned into Morash and Tiki, and they're going viral because Tiki's calling out Austin Ekeler for not wanting to carry the ball 300 times. It's a different NFL. It's a different league. Tiki is funny, though, because Tiki calls games. You're probably going to see Austin Ekeler at some point. I know he calls them for CBS, but like, there's going to be a time where, you know, the Washington Commanders NFC play an AFC team on CBS. Same thing with the Philadelphia Eagles. And see, like, they have those pre-show meetings where they meet with the players.
Yeah, but Tiki's real. He won't say anything that he wouldn't say to your face.
I mean, we don't know what's going to happen behind those closed doors in a hotel room or something like that, in a hotel, like, meeting conference room, like awkward when you got to go interview Austin Ekeler and Saquon Barkley. None of my business, none of my business, none of my business. I'll leave it alone. I want to just go home and watch Hard Knocks tonight. I want to see what they say about Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones.
I'm telling you, that made me so in the mood.
Did you watch?
I watched it on the train ride over.
Yeah, I love Hard Knocks. Bum, ba-da-dum. Like, since the beginning of time, Hard Knocks has been amazing. And it just, like, if you're a football fan and you get that insight on the players, the GMs, and it's just great. It's just one of the best behind-the-scenes sports documentary type of things. HBO, they've expanded that now. I think they're doing an in-season one with the whole AFC North, so can't wait to watch that. Aaron Rodgers back from Egypt, and out of all the fuss that we made about Aaron Rodgers, who cares? Now who cares? Now nobody cares. The Mets are great, so nobody cares, right? The Yankees are struggling, so nobody cares. Nobody cares to get Aaron Rodgers in front of a microphone. I saw he was at like a UFC fight or boxing match or something. Nobody cares to know, hey, Aaron, were you in the pyramids doing ayahuasca in Egypt? It's just like, whatever, bro. We'll see you soon. Training camp is going to start. 888-808-1019. I know you guys want to talk about the Yankees and their struggles and what they're going to do at the deadline and who they should go after and how do they fix this. And you guys want to talk about the Mets. They're unbelievable right now. To go from what they were in the beginning of the season to be hitting the ball like this, to find ways to win back-to-back nights and extra innings and all of the good things that are going on with the Mets, it's improbable. It was unpredictable. And I think it's great. Let's go back to the phones. My time is running out. I've got 40 minutes left. Let's go to Evan in Bridgeport on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Say that again?
Hello? Your kid's doing good? I got a 2-year-old myself.
Yeah, my son will be 15 months this month, and he's good. He's turning into more of a monster than a baby.
Yeah. Mine's 27 months. He's running around, and I try to get him to games, but, you know, no attention.
Yeah, I haven't brought my son to Yankee Stadium. I brought him to George M. Steinbrenner Field, and he cried and fell asleep on me. It was too loud, and then I had to, like, rock him to sleep, and I don't know. Not yet.
Yeah, bro. They make those big headphones. You've probably seen them, but
I had them, and I left them in the Airbnb. I forgot to even bring them to the game. So they announced number 99, Aaron Judge, and everybody goes crazy, and my son's like, ah!
Yep. We had my brother's down in D.C., so we were seeing the Nationals, and they were bumping the sound in. It was real loud, and
kids can't handle
it. He did okay. Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking you're our good luck charm. I'm a Mets fan. I just want you to keep coming. Are you going to keep coming?
Going to Citi Field?
Yeah, bro.
No, I go once a year when the Yankees play. The one year I went was when Tampa played against the Yankees in Citi Field because there was a storm in, like, I don't know what year that was. That was the only time I went and it wasn't Subway Series. It's far. And it's enemy territory, and it's just not for me. It's a good ballpark. They got good food and all that, but that's you guys' thing. That's not my thing.
All right. Hey, I agree with you there, but let me ask you this then. Yankees-Orioles game, big game in September. You see a guy rocking a navy blue Pete Alonso jersey at in the Bronx. Like what?
Like Yankees Pete Alonso jersey?
Yankees-Orioles game. No. Mets Alonso jersey.
Yeah, I saw some Mets fans in the building tonight.
I feel like you're asking to get chirped. Like, I'm in the same boat as you of, like, okay, Subway Series, you want to cross over, fine. But, like, bro, I go to 30, 40 games a year, and it's like, if you're wearing a Judge jersey or you're wearing, you know, a Soto jersey in Queens, I feel like, can you at least agree that, like, you're kind of asking for it?
No, you're definitely asking for it. You're putting a target on your back. I've never been that type. If I'm not rooting for a team there, I'm neutral. I won't wear anything. And I always look at people in Yankee Stadium. I'm like, why aren't you declaring? Why aren't you wearing a Yankee? No, I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm like, okay.
Facts. But
when I see people wearing a team that's not playing in a stadium, I'm like, you're looking for the wrong kind of attention. Be careful with that. Just be careful with that because not everybody understands there's lines and whatever. It's a public place. People might say something to you don't like. They might touch you. They might get in your face. You know, they might heckle you to a point where you're uncomfortable. Now make sure you're ready for that.
I feel like that's also, isn't that kind of a New York, somebody
Yeah, Guardians game. I've never been to Progressive Field, but like somewhere like PNC Park, they don't care. Somewhere like Petco Park, they don't care. It is the teams that have been around longer. Thanks for the call, Evan. The teams that have been around longer, the teams that have bigger fan bases, the teams that are in major market cities where it's like, especially New York. New York is just hard. Like, even tonight, I put out on Twitter, Yankee Stadium security pressed me in a way, and they always press me. I'm so used to it now. And like anybody in Yankee Stadium security that hears me and knows who I am, because I know a lot of you know who I am and like we're cool, I say what's up, but I know everybody doesn't know. But I'm like, I get it. Like I'm a 6'2", 205-pound black dude sitting behind home plate, and I'm loud and I'm clapping and I'm yelling and I'm screaming. And I check in with the usher as I'm going in. But I guess, I don't know, the lady didn't see me. And she pulls up on me and she goes, can I see your ticket? And I'm just like slow to go reach for the ticket because like I've been in everywhere in Yankee Stadium a fan could go and even people that aren't fan. I've been in every crevice of that stadium and I don't go places I'm not supposed to go. But like the way that the security guard checked me early in the game after I'd already been taking pictures with people in the section, it, like, they embarrassed me, yo. It was just so mean. She literally told me to go to my section. I'm in the WFAN seats. I'm in my literal company seats that, like, I have access to that I can request. I did roll call. I spent the first inning in the bleachers. So now I come to sit in my seats, and you think I don't belong. You don't check anybody else. You specifically come to me to the point where you're in my ear, and can I see your ticket? Yeah, give me a second. And you know what I even did? I keep my credential on me because I do get pressed. And usually a credential is a good way to back them off you. Like, yo, you see this credential? You know what that means, right? Like, I'm technically someone who works here. So I show the credential, and she's like, that doesn't give you the right to be in these seats. And I'm like, give me a second. And so I pulled up my tickets, and it said, like, section 123. And I think that was some tickets I gave away. And I'm like, wait, no. Those aren't my tickets. She's like, sir, can you go to your section? I'm like, I swipe over and I get to the seat. I go, not only do I have this seat that I'm in, I have the seat next to me that this guy's in, but I haven't told him to move. And she goes, say left, Les, you got it. Like, no, you know, say no more. And I'm like, yeah, but you came in with this energy to press me like you were going to kick me out of the section in front of people that recognized me and said what's up and asked for pictures. I'm not beat for that. Yankee Stadium is just the security. I used to be afraid of security when I was younger. When I was like freshly 21, 22, 23, coming in there, coming from Jersey, Yankee Stadium security used to have me shook because they're mean. They are New York. They're a lot of them from the Bronx, and they're hard, and they just establish dominance over you, and they have to do that so people don't get unruly in there, so people don't get crazy in there thinking they could just sit wherever they want, stand on things, throw things, do, you know. But like not everybody is doing something wrong. Yankee Stadium security, I come in peace. I'm just there to see the Yankees win. I don't want no smoke. Leave me alone, please. Thomas in Freeport. Tom, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
Last time, okay. Congratulations on everything that's happened to you in the last year or so.
Thanks.
I'm blessed. 15 months. Yeah, you are blessed. We're all blessed in our own way.
Yeah.
Last time we talked was actually 1 year ago, I was leaving the July 3rd game with the fireworks.
Amazing. Stadium. Yeah. Fireworks night last year was amazing.
That's the night that I got off the roller coaster. I think you had gotten off a couple of weeks before that.
I was officially off 2 weeks after that. It was the 17th that I got on WFAN and I declared I was done because they lost to the Colorado Rockies.
I was done that night. I was like, you know what? And this year, it didn't start out great this year. I don't know if we remember, but it didn't start out all that great this year. It looked like we were making a lot of the same mistakes and crap that was going on last year.
We were getting shut out. Yep.
And then suddenly caught fire, and you were all positive, and I'm like, you know what? I think I can get on board. And now it's like, can I keep on this? I don't know. This is
no.
I
No, and I'm not getting on this radio to tell anybody, hey, it's okay, and this will be all right, and, oh, this happens in baseball. No, this is alarming. This is concerning. This is a lot of issues, a lot of holes to fix.
I'm still shell-shocked from the Red Sox meltdown at the turn of the century. I still haven't gotten over
that.
And
here they come this weekend.
And here they come again. You know? So, yeah. We got a lot of questions to ask here, and then things to think about. As far as like the hernia surgery you had, I had it 12 years ago.
Yeah,
I had a double hernia, so it was a little longer recovery and pretty painful. I don't know if it's the same procedure as yours, but
it ain't no fun.
It ain't no fun. I don't know if you got the Vicks or whatever they give out for pain these days, but.
No, I just was popping Advil and Tylenol, and I thank God that I was able to recover fast, and I feel good now. The scar is there, and it's not pleasant or whatever, but it's just it was a speed bump, a reality check to, like, you have to stretch, you have to warm up. You are not the man you used to be. You are not as strong as you used to be, and there's no reason for you to be trying to squat 225 pounds. You're not getting tackled. There's no reason to be working out like that.
That's what I tell my guys now. I'm a boxing trainer. I got my own studio and so on. Like, dude, you stay out of the weight room at this point. You don't need to be in there. You don't need to be doing that stuff. In fact, when I woke up in the recovery room, I was calling out to people saying, "Listen, my hands aren't wrapped. My hands aren't wrapped. I think I'm up next."
Wow.
And the nurses, people are running around going, "What's this guy talking about?"
Yeah.
Finally, an ordinary shouts over to him. Like,
when they put you under and you come back, that's not a regular wake up. Tom, thanks for the call, man. Yeah. When I came to, I was asking if Danny Hurley took the Lakers job, and nobody knew what I was talking about. I'm like, I bet he didn't. I'm like, he's staying. Why would he take the Lakers job? Nobody knew. No, they're looking at me in the hospital like, "Are you okay? How's your breathing? How do you feel? You know what day it is?" I do know what day it is. When you guys put me under, Danny Hurley is supposed to be out there interviewing with the Lakers. I think he stays with UConn. And he stayed. 888-808-1019. Randy from Lakewood on the Fan in New York.
Oh, hi, Keith.
Hey.
I was going to talk about the Reds-Yankees game, but I decided, since you brought up Bronny James, I want to speak a little bit about the Lakers.
All right, we got like 5 minutes here. We can do both.
Okay. I think that it's very different. While everybody's saying that, like, Bronny ain't going to make it when he comes to the NBA, I think his whole life he's been training, since his father is LeBron, he's been training his whole life with players at an NBA level, with Chris Paul and Melo and Dwayne Wade, all of LeBron's boys, like his guys. So I think he's more NBA ready than college, because college and NBA are two different games. So when he's coming into the league, he's coming in ready for NBA. He wasn't ready for college. He never did it. And his father couldn't train him. His father never went to college.
But it's still basketball, right? So, like, I'm trying to think, like, what is he going to be? He's a guard. Is he going to be a guard that can shoot? Is he going to be a guard that can defend? Is he going to be a ball handler, distributor? I don't know. I didn't watch much of him. When he was at Sierra Canyon or wherever it was, like, he was more of a star there and, you know, had some hops, could dunk the ball. But I don't know how that's going to translate to the NBA. But I will say you're correct about that. If your dad is LeBron, your dad is preparing. Your dad is arguably the best basketball player of all time. Your dad is preparing you for the NBA game, and he's not going to let you just go out there and be a bum. He's gonna work with you and put you in position to succeed.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, his IQ is already better than any rookie that's coming into the league right now.
Right, so there's also physical attributes. Like, they try to say he's 6'4". I don't know if he's even 6'4". We're about to find out. It is going to be a great story to watch. I won't say that I'm rooting for or against the kid. It is certainly just odd. It's just odd that, like, you know, this, you know, even watching him, like, when they, like, the draft party they had for him, I'm like, this is cringy. This is so forced. There was no suspense about another team drafting him, where he was going to go. There's no real sense of, like, draft day, I made it, all the hard work paid off. Like, you already knew.
Yeah, thanks.
So you're a Reds fan? You're a Cincinnati Reds fan?
I'm a Reds fan, yeah.
How'd that happen? Big Red Machine? How old are you?
I'm 24.
So hell no, you weren't watching a Big Red.
Johnny. No, my grandpa's from Joe Cincinnati. Morgan.
Okay, nah. So maybe your grandparents were.
Yeah. So they knew a little bit about.
I'm trying to think. What was it like the best Reds team that you watched? Joey Votto.
Joey Votto. He was on the team. So
Chapman was coming up with them. Johnny Cueto, yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, I believe, at least in the past month, he's been showing it. I think Ellie might be better than Juan Soto.
Nah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Not yet. Go on, though. Why do you think Ellie De La Cruz today is better than Juan Soto? Because today, his debut in Yankee Stadium, he started off with a ridiculous triple and then followed it up with a home run. Like, the crack of the bat. See, I'm sitting behind home plate. I don't even flinch. The crack of the bat, I'm like, I knew that ball was going out. It was on a line. Like, everybody jumped up when Judge hit that pop-up. I'm like, it wasn't loud enough. That's not a home run. But the second Judge one, I'm like, that one's going out.
Yeah, thanks. So I think the reason why I say Ellie's better is because Juan probably brings better to the plate, but all-around player, if I had to choose, Ellie, what he brings is the biggest threat when he's on base. So automatically he gets walked, that dude's the biggest threat in MLB. And then when he gets hot, he has most power in MLB. Like, yeah, Aaron Judge obviously more powerful, but Ellie
I will
is
say
the
this.
Most power.
You know, as we're talking about a 23-year-old Volpe, the kid is only 22, and you can see that he's got all the physical attributes, tools, and he's a natural. Yeah. He's got to keep working though. He had a slump earlier in the season where he wasn't hitting the ball for power. He wasn't hitting the ball for average. That's why he's a .250 hitter right now. His on base percentage is .343. I think that stuff is all going to get better. Obviously, the speed, he's one of the fastest players. Obviously, just the way he runs, it's effortless. Obviously, yeah. He's got a cannon arm. I'm watching this guy field the ball and throw. It's not a doubt that he's whipping the ball over there. But at the plate, his plate discipline, I mean, he's got 15 homers now. He's going to hit for power. But, lessening the strikeouts and knowing what pitches to swing at and not swing at, that's going to come with time. He's a freak, man. Yeah, he in 5 years he might be an MVP.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I think we officially could agree that Luis Gil is a fake. He's a fraud.
No.
They exposed him. They exposed him three straight.
That's what happens when you're a rookie. They got the book on him now. He's got to adjust. That's another thing about being a rookie. He's got to figure it out here. Randy, thanks for the call, man. I'm up against it. I gave you a 5. 888-808-1019. I don't think we could say that Luis Gil is a fake, a fraud. He's a rookie. He has to adapt. Something I thought today, he tipped his cap to Gerrit Cole and talked about how great of a teacher Gerrit Cole has been for him. Okay. Well, Gerrit Cole's got to help him a little bit now. Matt Blake's got to help him a little bit now. He's got to adjust. He's got to be able to mix it up. He's got to be able to just not be predictable. And the book that they have on him, on attacking him, he's got to adapt and change, and that's pitching itself. He's got to be able to mix it up and throw some different things and battle and have his command, right? He got in trouble when he hit batters, and the next thing you know, you got to throw strikes because you don't have your command, and that ball gets sent over the fence. 888-808-1019. We've got all Yankee calls, so the next 25 minutes of my show, 22 minutes left of my show is going to be us closing, talking about the issues with your New York Yankees. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Hey, right back at it on The Fan in New York. Getting pages out of New Jersey from Courtney B telling me about a party up in NYC. Can I make it damn right? I'll be on the next flight.
You guys know that.
Must be the money. All right, here we go. We got to talk about the Yankees. They have holes in the rotation, the lineup, and the bullpen. And I've got five people that want to call and probably give me answers for the trade deadline and things to do with the lineup and who sucks on the Yankees. And Aaron Judge is the greatest player we've ever seen. One, two, three. Here we go. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. Eric, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how are you, my friend?
All right. A little bit sad that that's the last game I get to go to in the first half of the Yankee season. I think I've been to 17 or 18 games, and that one was whack tonight. It was fun for a little bit, but ultimately, whack.
Man, it is really a frustrating season. And well, first and foremost, man, it's so great to hear about your son and how things are going there, man. There's nothing better than being a father. I got a 10-year-old, and the advice my father gave me, and I'll give to you, is enjoy it, man, because it goes by like a lightning flash. It's
yes,
unbelievable.
Sir. God bless you. Thank you.
So you got it, man. But yeah, these Yanks, there's so many holes. You know, I mean, you touched on so much of it, and it's a matter of really trying to figure out what Cashman, you know, can do, not just, you know, what we can rumor or you know, hope might happen. It's what's reality, and I think, you know, as far as the bullpen goes, I'm not terribly concerned with Cash in the bullpen. He always seems to figure it out, and obviously with Blake, I have pretty significant confidence that he can figure it out with, you know, probably people we haven't even heard of. So for me, it's the infield. What do we do in the infield, and what is it going to take, you know, to get some of these guys? And the top of my list would be Ryan McMahon out of Colorado. But the question there is, what is it going to take? I mean, if you know, he's young, he's obviously controllable. I think he's controllable for another 3 years. So if that's the case, that, I mean, I have to believe it's going to cost Spencer Jones. And is that something, you know, the Yankees would be willing to do? Is that something I would want them to do? To me, I think so. I think he answers so many questions for us, or he fills so many holes for us. And as much as it would suck to lose Spencer Jones, I'm just tired of watching the Yankees completely waste this epic season by an Aaron Judge, this epic career, you know, by Gerrit Cole. I mean, that time is that window's going to close eventually. So yeah. At some point, Cashman's got to make the big moves, not these, you know, small tinkerings like, dude, we need a World Series.
Right now? No, this is the year. You traded for Juan Soto this year.
Right. Like, you got to do it. I don't care. I mean, there are two guys that I've been rumored about with Bregman and Guerrero Jr., both guys are the Yankee stand that I absolutely can't stand. But if they were a Yankee tomorrow, I'd be freaking thrilled.
Sure. I mean, I don't really want them, but if they actually found a way to get them, I know that they would hit, and I know that they would help this team. Before I let you go, Ryan, there is a article in Sports Illustrated that I have in my notes, and they proposed this trade. They said the Yankees get third baseman Ryan McMahon. The Rockies get right-handed pitcher Will Warren, outfielder Brandon Maya, and this is something that was already written about by Chris Kirshner, Brendan Cuddy, and Bowden spoke about this earlier this week. So I guess it's been floated out there, and that's who they think that the Yankees would give up. If Colorado makes McMahon available, the competition for him will surely be fierce, but he's also in the middle of a career year, blah, 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 blah. The Yankees aren't going to want to overpay. 29-year-old McMahon would likely give them their everyday third baseman through 2027. So I don't know. They say that you have to give up Will Warren and Brent. Like, so you have to give up a right-handed pitcher and an outfielder prospect. And I know Will Warren, but I haven't heard of this Brandon Maya.
I don't know who that is either.
Yeah, I'm about to look him up now that I'm in this article.
But I almost feel like, I mean, I guess, what do you think? Would you rather give up Will Warren than Spencer Jones?
You can give up those two guys, hell yeah, for Ryan McMahon. But like,
I mean, are you kidding me? I would do it in a heartbeat.
That's the thing. It's never that simple. It's never that simple, man. They're always going to want more. If that's what's written in Sports Illustrated, they're going to ask Cashman for a little bit more. Eric, thanks for the call. Got to keep it rolling. 888-808-1019. If you don't get on with me, you can get on with C-Mac. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Yankees' issues and needs and how to try and solve these problems. Let's go to Tim in Norwalk, Connecticut. Tim, you're back on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? Awesome songs. Obviously, you know, I've talked to you about the music. But I'm looking at the lyrics from Nelly, because you played the other song, Ride With Me or whatever. But I'm looking at the song,
From St. Louis to Memphis, from Texas back up to Indiana, Chi-Town, KC, Montana, Alabama, LA, New York Yankees. Let's talk.
Yeah, good job.
I think the Yankees. I think Yankee fans need to calm down. I think Hill. I almost feel like Hill is maybe threatened by Cole a little bit, but
no.
At the same time,
no, he's helped by Cole.
I mean, he wasn't supposed to be on the five-man roster.
No, he's not getting bumped. And early on in the season, he's like, I have the great professor. He literally referred to Gerrit Cole as like his professor teaching him. He's not worrying about Gerrit Cole. He's right now, he's just, the book is out on him. We talk about this in football
it's
a lot.
We talk about this with hitters
a lot. Like, yo, it just takes a little while for the league to get some film on you, to study you and say, okay, we got you.
The Yes Network is pretty much saying this guy doesn't even know where his pitches are going to be thrown. Like John Flaherty, who I can't stand, but I'm just saying, like, why is everyone saying that this guy can't pitch anymore when he literally was about to be the starting pitcher for the All-Star game, which is in like
earlier in the year. Guys, he was striking guys out. He was his fastball. He was locating it. He was blowing by guys. Now it seems like he gets a little bit frantic. He gets a little rattled, and he can't locate the ball. And like they were saying, he doesn't know where the ball is going. He hit Stuart Fairchild, and Will Benson took him deep.
Tonight?
What'd you say? Yeah, I went to the game.
You were at the game tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Yankee Stadium, I'm sorry. That's awful that they treated you like that. That's awful.
It has happened so many times. It has happened so many times. I don't care.
Well, you know what? You got to shave that goatee.
I don't have a goatee. I have a baby face. I got the long locks. It's the dreadlocks. They're like, this guy is sitting somewhere that he's not supposed to be sitting. I'm like, actually, I could go everywhere I want to go. Like, there was times that I actually would be sitting somewhere. Like, I used to sneak down, and I used to keep a head on a swivel for security. Now I sit so comfortably knowing that I have multiple tickets and a credential. It's just laughable, but they still press me. I don't care. It is what it is. It's a secured place, and I hope because they didn't check anybody else around me, but I would hope that they would do that to other people. Like, they just let the old guys that were sitting next to me scoring the game. One of the guys next to me kept going on about Ed Randall. Like, they didn't check them. They didn't ask them for tickets. The lady was like, literally in my ear, like, can I see your ticket? Whatever, yo.
Did you stay for the whole game?
I did.
I thought LeMahieu was going to, like, that was going to be, like, his game changer.
I was
right
in
there.
The bleachers. Everybody stood up in the bleachers. I always just watch the outfielder's feet. I always am looking at their feet. Thanks for the call, Tim. Just got to keep it rolling. We don't have a lot of time. Less than 10 minutes here. I knew DJ didn't have enough. He's not the same guy, man. Remember DJ hitting that game 6 homer in Houston to make all of us believe, and it was like George Springer hits his back against the wall, and it's just like, yes. And then obviously Altuve with the buzzer. Those were the days. Rob is in Cape May, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, Keith? It's nice to talk to you again.
Welcome back. Been a while. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I'd be better if the Yanks are doing a little better right now, but I think they'll turn it around.
Yeah, that's what we have to think. We can't think the opposite. We can't think that they're going to keep losing series.
Yeah, hopefully Hill will turn it around, which I believe he will adjust because the league is adjusting to him, so he has to stay one step ahead. He'll have enough help maybe with Cole to do that, I believe, and his stuff is off the charts, so I'm not very worried about him. The reason I called was because about Volpe. I believe that they should move him down in the lineup for now because eventually he'll be a great leadoff man. I mean, with his speed, and he's just perfect for that. But right now he's not ready. So until then, what would you think of batting Soto first and Judge second and then maybe Verdugo third to get the lefty-righty-lefty going.
I'm down.
Because Soto is great at getting on base.
It checks the box of Soto and Judge have to bat in the first inning. I'm down.
Yeah, because the lineup is so top-heavy anyway, and Judge did great when he was at leadoff, so when if he's at near the top of the lineup, nothing's gonna bother Judge, and Soto will be there, so we know we'll be strong there, and I don't think he'll lose confidence, but just until he's ready, let's try Soto up there with his incredible on-base percentage.
Sounds like a plan, Rob. Hopefully the powers that be can hear it, and maybe someone will do that. Thanks for the call. I doubt they'll do that, but I would love to see some type of change in the leadoff spot. I just think they need to give a reprieve, a little bit of a break to young Volpe and put him lower in the lineup, because lower in the lineup is a struggle with LeMahieu, with Grisham, Trevino, or Wells, or Cabrera, whoever. Rob is out in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Keith, how you doing, brother?
All right, how are you?
All right, look, I'm going to make it quick. I listened to the first part. Somebody was talking about your hernia thing. Take it from me, I used weights since I was 14 years old. I'll be 49 in a couple of months. You don't need weights to be strong.
Yeah.
Just do calisthenics. Two of the greatest athletes in our lifetime, Herschel Walker and Lawrence Taylor,
push-ups.
Never worked out with weights.
Yeah.
And look how they looked and look how they performed.
Yeah, I've been hitting the push-ups. I've been hitting them in here. I literally have my own.
Push-ups, the squats are no weights. The dips and no weights, just do that. No weights. And it'll avoid unnecessary stress on your joints. And when you get older, trust me, and I'm telling you from fact, you're going to feel that.
All right, Rob, we don't have that much time. Go to the Yankee point.
I was going to say about Yankees. if I was an opposing manager, I would not throw one pitch that Judge could hit.
Right.
Why would you throw anything that man could hit? Get somebody else on. Thanks for the call, Keith. Take care, brother.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Yeah, I don't get it either. I'm trying to figure it out. I said maybe it's just a bold thing. Maybe they have some dares. Maybe it's like these guys are daring each other. Hey, I dare you to throw, try and strike Judge out. It's like, I got $500 on the line if you could strike Judge out. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I said keep pitching to him, because I've seen this guy hit so many homers, and like this team right now is struggling, and that's the one guy they can count on. Man, speaking about a guy you can count on, I was just reading an article too about how Ellie De La Cruz, after the game, said he's so proud because the Dominican people here in New York are watching. So him being Dominican, him getting his first game in Yankee Stadium, him getting to perform in front of his people and knowing that there's a heavy population of Dominicans here, he turned it on. And he turned up against the Yankees. Tough. Can't trade for him. Jonathan out in Los Angeles, back on the Fan in New York.
Yo, Key, what's good, bro?
The Yankees.
Yeah, man, I'm in the same boat, bro. But I got a few things to tell you. I'm going to try to make it quick, man. Last year, I went to a Laker game, bro, and I saved my money for the playoff game, bro. And I sat close. Now, I'm not going to say front row, but I'm going to say like the 11th row.
And you saw Bronny?
Bro, why you? No. Yeah, you're right.
He always is there.
I remember that day. Yeah. And, bro, and it was me and my son and my cousin. And then you got these people, you could tell these, wealthy people, you could tell just from the looks of it. And they were, bro, while we're looking for our seats, I could hear the guy telling the other guy, look at these seat junkies. Bro, I look back and like, you know what? Who you calling seat junkies, bro? I got my seat right here, man. So I know.
That's
man,
how it goes. I hate that, bro. It's like, you don't know how anybody got their ticket. You don't know what anybody does. I hate the like profiling that goes on. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, man, but that's the world that we live on, Keith, and I'm sorry for that, bro, because I know you've been...
It is what it is. I've sat in nice seats in a ton of different places, and I will continue to.
Facts. Bro, today I met Daryl Strawberry and Oral Hershiser. I tagged you right now while I was on hold.
I just looked at that on Instagram. I couldn't figure out what it was.
You're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah,
bro, that's actually me, my cousin, and my little son. I'm the one, obviously, with the Yankee jersey. Bro, Oral Hershiser and Daryl Strawberry, one of the nicest guys, so, so humble, bro. And I asked Daryl Strawberry, yo, Daryl, I got to get it from you, bro. What do you think about our Yank? He's like, it's a long season, brother, and we can't win them all. Give them time, and they'll be all right. I'm like, all right, man. I'm gonna take your words to the bank, bro.
Yeah, that's but what hey, any man. Baseball player is gonna tell you because they've all seen it. Good teams all go through it. I heard them talking about it on BT and Sal today. Something like, you know, every World Series team had a bad month, and the Yankees just went through a bad month, but still ended up 14-13 after that. John, you're the man. Thanks for the call, calling out from LA. Yeah, isn't that whack? Right, people profiling you that are rich and can just, you know, spend thousands of dollars on seats and not worry about it. And you got to, like, crack into your savings, right, as, like, a Laker fan out in L.A. wanting to see the Lakers in the playoffs. So it's like, all right, I'm going to splurge a little bit. Then you get profiled and looked at a certain type of way. Like, it's so dumb, man. I would never look down on somebody in a seat in a stadium. I look at everybody as a fan. I don't care what you do, who you are. Even me, like, I end up having conversations with people all the time. And then I have to reveal I'm a radio host. Where? WFAN. Oh, really? When? Later tonight. Davidson, Ron Konkema, last call for me tonight on The Fan.
Hey, how you doing? So a couple of trade ideas I think would be great for the Yankees is, like, the Yankees really need a hitter, who's a solid contact hitter outside of Juan Soto and Judge. Really, they lack that. They lacked that for years, especially at the top of the lineup. I think, at least for an EFO, that would be probably the best deal that they
from the Angels, certainly.
From another base. Angels. We're going to be really honest, they need more than one bat. If they could get, you know, maybe Cody Bellinger, who's on Cubs. Cubs not really having a good year. Because they really need two bats, if I'm being honest. Because one, not in the lineup where it's like, oh, they need one more bat. They need to have some thick hole. And maybe, like, later in the year, you get back Dominguez. You can put him, like, later down in the lineup. Get Stan back, hopefully. I like Ben Rice, but, you know, they don't really have a strong first baseman right now. And I don't really know if you think Ben Rice is going to be a guy.
I think he's good enough right now till Rizzo comes back. They've linked the Yankees to Christian Walker from Arizona. Josh Bell. I don't know. All these names are floating around. We'll see what Cashman wants to do, if he's able to do what we want him to do. I just think it's going to be a challenging deadline for him because of the future, how many young guys they want to keep for the future, and the urgency of needing to win now and everybody else with the high price for the New York Yankees and a Yankee tax.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, David. I'm out of time. Oh, I thought you were about to hit the back time. Can I take this last call? Yeah, might as well sneak it in. Got one more. John in Far Rockaway. You're in there.
Hey, what's up, Keith? I'm glad I got to talk to you. You do such great work. It's a great change of pace hearing somebody like you on The Fan, my friend.
Cool, yeah. Appreciate it, man.
Let me tell you something. I know you got to go quick. Brian Cashman should have been out of a job after 2012 and that disgusting performance against the Detroit Tigers in the divisional series.
Jeter got hurt.
I don't know why. I know, but it's they let him put the team behind another set.
That Tigers team was...
They didn't need to sign, man.
That Tigers team was generational.
They're not going to win another title with him, man. They're just not. I'm sorry.
I don't want to hear that, man. And here comes the Brian Cashman defender himself.
That's the only reason I hesitated before you said if you can get him in.
C-Max coming up next to defend Brian Cashman's honor and tell you how Brian Cashman will fix this mess. What a mess. Katie Sharp. Go look up Katie Sharp's new Twitter account. Judge, 3-for-4 with 2 runs scored. The rest of the team, 3-for-31 with 2 runs scored. Oh, you guys want the Yankees to throw it, guys? Well, the Yankees now have hit 58 batters this season. That's 7 more than any other team. I'm out of here. Have a good holiday. Sports Radio 101.9.